What a mighty God we serve.
Certainly do.
And as we know, we're celebrating today as the Lord is preparing to enter into Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And even the people don't really know what's happening, do they?
No.
But the Lord does. He's in control and he's in charge. Well, today we are going to continue with the subject of the seven I Ams in John's Gospel. And so we're going to look at the third one today, and that is in John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting to read at verse 1. That's John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we'll commence to read at verse 1. And this is Jesus again in John's Gospel, again saying who he is, the I Am. And so let's start with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we go any further, even in this first verse here, it starts off truly, truly. That's in the New American Standard. In the King James, I think it says verily, verily. What does it mean? I know historically we've been told, well, you know, when Jesus says verily, verily, or truly, truly, it means sit up, listen, take notice. This is important. Well, actually, this word here, truly, truly, or verily, verily, in the Greek, it means amen, amen.
Amen.
Now, normally we say amen a lot of times at the end of a statement, don't we? Well, straight away here, Jesus is starting at the beginning of his statement, amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Praise God. So let's have a look at that. He who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Verse 2, the shepherd enters through the door. Anyone coming in by any other way, they are about to steal, to kill, and to rob sheep. That's the principle behind this. And so there's this robbing, there's this stealing. And we've seen this historically in church life where people have come in and they've come in through another way and bringing in other teachings and other doctrines, and they begin to steal, to rob people's lives from them. And so but we need to be able to recognize what is happening. Verse 3 says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Hallelujah. So here we have the shepherd. When he speaks out, it says in this verse here, verse 3, it says, the doorkeeper recognizes the shepherd's voice. So first of all, we have in verse 2, A, the shepherd enters by the door. Verse 3, B, the doorkeeper recognizes the shepherd's voice. C, we see that here that the sheep receive his voice. When they hear his voice, they respond to his voice. And they receive his voice, and they are obedient sheep to his voice. And so as soon as he speaks, the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. Now this is actually how it happened in the time of Jesus. The shepherd would speak to the sheep. The sheep recognized the shepherd's voice. The sheep recognized the shepherd's tones. And it says they followed him. And we'll go more into that as we go through. And so first of all, we're looking really at the fact that Jesus says, I am the door. I am the entrance. And this is the way that we all have to come through this entrance. We see here also in that same verse, it says, and the sheep, he knows them by name. Hallelujah. Does Jesus today know you by your name?
Amen.
Are you in that relationship where Jesus knows your name? Your name shall be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are known in the court of heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For the glory of God. And so today, he calls you by your name. Praise God. He don't just say, hey, come over here. He calls you by name. He's calling you into his presence. He's calling you into relationship with himself. And this entrance is through this door, Christ Jesus. And it is so wonderful that we can come into the presence of the Lord and that the Lord himself comes to us. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? That Jesus himself actually comes to us.
Amen.
It's not us always seeking him out, but it says he first sought you and me out.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And it's wonderful when we know the presence of the Lord, when we feel his touch upon our lives. We have that song, when I feel the touch of his hand upon my life. Hallelujah. When we feel that precious touch of that anointing of his hand, of his Spirit of God just flowing over us, we know that he is there. We sense his presence. We sense the power of his anointing. We sense the touch, that healing touch, that touch that brings peace into our lives. We sense and know the touch of the Lord into our lives. Mm-hmm. And that is so wonderful, so powerful and so precious.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, in chapter 10 and verse 3, John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 3, and it says, he leads them out. This is another part of this scripture. He leads them out. He will lead us into new pastures.
Amen.
He means he's going to lead us into deeper spiritual meanings. He's leading us into a closer and a deeper relationship with himself. He's leading us into a deeper revelation of himself and the things of God. He brings with him, when he's calling us out, he brings a refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
He brings a restoration to your soul.
Amen.
Psalm 23.
Yeah.
When we read Psalm 23, he restores my soul. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he's with me all the time. He said he'd never leave me. He's a restorer.
Amen.
Of our souls. Praise his wonderful name. Mm-hmm. And we can rejoice in that as we look to Christ, as we look to him, the I am, the doorkeeper of your soul, the
Amen.
Doorkeeper of our lives, the one who is there for us, guiding us and leading us, always interceding for us, causing us to know his presence in our lives. Moving on to verse 4. Verse 4 says, when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Today.
Amen.
Do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? I know I have people at times say to me, how do you know when God's speaking to you? Because as we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and as we spend time in his word, and as we spend time in his prayer, and as we spend time as a body of believers together worshipping the Lord, we will begin to recognize, we will begin to know the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, he wants you to recognize his voice. He wants to be able to speak to you. He wants to be able to minister into your life, that you might know the presence and the power of God in your life. And so this verse 4 says, when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. It's important that we, as believers, learn to follow.
Yeah.
We need to follow the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We need to follow the Word of God. We need to follow the leadings of the church leadership as they lead us forward together as we believe that they seek the Lord and pray that God would move in our lives. The big problem today with so many sheep is that they just wander off if you're not careful. And one of the great challenges that there has been over the for the sheep that were in Israel for the shepherd was that there were vegetation out there that actually was poisonous to the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason the shepherd led them was so that he could check the pasture. And he could check that there was no poisonous vegetation around, because the sheep would eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
They were not particular in what they ate. And sadly today, even in today's generation of churches, they just seem to eat anything, and they're not particular. They have no discernment. And the sheep that Jesus is talking about there, they did not have any discernment. That's why they needed the shepherd to lead them, because the shepherd would then clear away the poison. He would remove it so that the sheep were not poisoned in any way. And today, in the same way, our church, as church leaders, we're to remove the poisons. We're to remove the things that are toxic to the church. And we're to bring the church to a place of entering into the very presence of a holy God.
Yeah.
We're to bring the church to a place where the sheep enter into the majesty and the power and the glory of the risen Lord and Savior. That is what we've got to do. Mm-hmm. That is our responsibility. Church leaders have a greater responsibility. They have a double accountability of to lead the people into green pastures.
Amen.
To be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, and that the presence of God is moving in their lives. And so that's why in Eastern times the shepherds led the sheep, because they needed protection. Today it's no different in churches. There's so many doctrines going around. There's so much on TV that, honestly, some of it is so much garbage. It is unbelievable. And people follow it, and people get caught out. There are more scams, I think, on Christian TV than there are on the telephone these days at times. And so we need to protect people. We need to guide people and show them the things of God. And as we do that, we can bring them to the place where they begin to recognize the truth of the Word of God, begin to recognize the power of the Word of God. We need to teach them to know and to recognize the Word of the Lord. We need to cause them to show them how to handle the sword of the Lord, the Word of God, against the enemy. So that together we can pull down strongholds. Together we can destroy the work of the devil. Together we can press through and we can push through, because together is how it should be, because that is what Jesus has planned for us.
Mm-hmm.
That we love one another, he says, as he loved us. So it's that togetherness, it's that moving forward together as a group and as a body of believers, because he died that all of us might come together as the body of Christ, not as separate individual members, but as one body. One body that is anointed to move in the authority, to move in the power of the name, and to move in the power of the word and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Each and every one of you is called into that precious anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every one of you is called into his presence. And so there is a great responsibility placed upon true shepherds to protect the sheep from deception and to deal with the things that would bring eternal harm to the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who have been sadly bruised and marred and hurt and damaged through churches over the years, through wrong teachings or misunderstandings, and it has left deep wounds in people's lives. And I believe that even now the Lord's calling these people back. And as he calls them back, you know, the shepherd, when he gets a new sheep, one of the things he would take oil, and he would begin to cover the sheep in oil. One of the things about this oil is that it would unknot the fleece. And he would run his hands through, and by running his hands through the fleece, he would begin to look for sores and wounds in the sheep, and for any briars and any other thing that has got tangled up in the sheep's wool. And he would begin to feel and touch the sheep. You know, this is a bit like Jesus, isn't he? When I, as I said earlier, when I feel the touch of his hand upon my life.
Yeah.
You know, when he's anointing us and he's running his hands through us and he's touching us and he's feeling us, he's checking us out, he's feeling how we are. And the other thing about this oil also helped keep the flies away from the sheep. So they were not irritated by the flies. So it did a number of things in that sense, that it was causing them to him to get to know them, and them also to get to know him. To know that he loved them, that he cared for them, they heard his voice, and they began to hear him and recognize him. They would recognize him from a distance and follow him. And so we need to realize that the Lord wants to anoint us fully, and to bring us to that place of fullness in his presence. You know, in the wilds of the night, the shepherds would make a temporary area to protect the sheep from the lions, the wolves, the bears, and anything else that was seeking to, looking for a meal at night. And so they would make a temporary pen-type thing, so to protect the sheep, to keep them in a place, they would look for a safe place. But then they needed a gate. And do you know who the gate was? It was the shepherd. And the shepherd would lay at night across the opening.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see where Jesus says, I am the door?
Yeah.
He lays across the opening for you and I to enter into the presence of Almighty God. He's the doorway. He's our entrance into the glory. He's our entrance into the presence of Almighty God. And so the shepherd would guard the sheep basically with his life. He would lay before, he would lay at the front and make a gateway. He was the doorway. Nothing would come in. If it was coming in any other way, it was a thief, it was a robber, it had come to steal, kill and destroy. And so he will be at that gateway, at that doorway, and he will be there to protect. And he would lay across there, and he would defend against anything that came against the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
We know David, young David, he was a shepherd boy. And he protected the sheep. His brothers thought it was nothing of a job, really. He was just protecting, looking after silly old sheep. Well, it was an important job. Through that, he learned many things. He killed the bear. He killed the lion. How? Why? Because he was protecting the sheep. And he did it in that sort of manner. But he would be laid across. He would be watching to protect the sheep through all things, against all things that were coming against them to destroy them. And so we know today that we are to realize it is important that there is protection around us, there is covering of God over us, and that we stand together in leadership, protecting and assisting one another. Let's have a look at verse 5. John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 5. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. We need to be like that. Don't just accept anything, any teaching. The voice of the Lord has to be in it.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord has to be in it. And we have to have discernment in our lives. We have to begin to come to that place where we tune our discernment, where we are quickened by the Spirit of God, that we discern things, and so that we can discern whether this is of God or whether this is of something else, a strange voice. In Moses' time, they offered up strange fire, if you remember. And as they offered up strange fire, God devoured them for that strange fire. And same way, we don't need strange voices. We don't need strange ministries coming in, trying to deceive and to pull away and destroy the flock that the Lord has given us protection over. And so we to stand. We don't need to have itching ears, running from here to there and thinking, oh, that sounds good. That's a new doctrine. I'll try that one. We need to be standing on the Word of God. That is so important. If it doesn't match up with the Word, then it needs dumping. And if we're not sure about it, we need to pray into it. We need to hear the voice of the Spirit of God in our lives. We should not be moved by emotion. We're moved by the Spirit of God. We're moved by the Word of God. We don't want to be people with itching ears following every wind of doctrine just because it suits you and it's something that you want to hear. And that's so easy, isn't it? That when somebody says something that we like to hear, oh, yeah, like that, you know, that's when we're just being tickled. That's when we're just being, what's the word I'm looking for? When we're just being stroked, you know, our ego's being stroked. And yet, you know, we find that, and I'm probably going to get to that later, but I'll bring it up now, when Timothy is instructed about teaching and rebuking, that the Word is for teaching and for rebuke. We don't want to be rebuked, do we? No. We don't want to be corrected because we know everything. Hey, guess what? If you know everything, then you're unteachable. Either that or you're ready for glory. One of the two. And the Lord wants to be able to have a teachable spirit in each and every one of us. We need to be sheep of his pasture, that we are ready to be taught and ready to learn and ready to press into deeper revelations of him. Because not everything has been revealed. And I believe that the Lord wants to take us deeper spiritually into himself spiritually and to equip us spiritually in a more stronger way than we've ever done before. And so it's important. We need to be rooted in the Word of God. We need to be fixed. We don't need to be plant-pot Christians where we're drifting from here to there. Oh, that church is nice. I'll go there for a little while. We need to be in the Word. Okay. We need to be being fed the Word of God. And sometimes, well, you know, you that have had children, you know what it's like. You present a meal and the child says, but I don't like that. Well, tough, it's good for you. Eat your greens, but I don't like them, but it's good for you. Ever been like that? Ever had something you didn't want? Your parents said, you're going to sit there and eat it. And if you don't, there's no pudding. Well, I had it said to me, there's no pudding. If you don't eat all your dinner, there's no pudding. And that's tough because I love my puddings. And so, you know, but in one sense, it was for my good because we all needed that balanced meal. We needed all the vitamins that came with all the food that we were being fed. And so in our spiritual lives, we need to eat of the goodness of God. We need to know and be grounded into that family where we're being fed from the finest of God's food and being helped to grow because it's about growing the people of God. Maturing them into soldiers for the kingdom of God. Maturing them into a place of authority and power where they're hearing the voice of God, where they're hearing the shepherd, where they're hearing the Spirit speaking to them. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you know, it's the Spirit of God. And it's not about entertainment. It's so easy to entertain people these days and run a load of songs and bounce around and jump up and down and say, oh, we've had church. You know, a short message, we've had church, we've had a great meeting, and go away. And then when somebody says, what did the pastor speak about? I've no idea. But the worship were good. You know, the songs were good. Well, that's just cherries and cream and ice cream, but there's no meat. And it's the meat of the Word that gives us strength. It's the meat of the Word that brings us to maturity.
Yeah.
It is the meat of the Word that causes us to be warriors and causes us to be those people who will stand in the midst of a storm, that will stand in the midst of a battle and bring to death the enemy that comes against us and comes against the people in our area, because we're the ones God has set us in that place to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shepherds lead the sheep and they feed the sheep. They lead the flock. They bring the laity to be a functioning body for the glory of God. They bring the laity to a place where they're there to extend the kingdom of God.
Amen.
They're there to be anointed. We need to be a well anointed body of believers moving forward together in His anointing, in the power of His anointing, to be prepared for the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To move amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
That is my desire. Come, Holy Spirit. Move amongst us. I am so looking forward to this coming next Sunday, Easter Sunday, when we shall be physically together, when it will not be a flat screen that is in front of me,
mm-hmm.
that has no dimensions about it, and there is no tangibility, and I can't even, you know, actually see you properly in the natural. I can only see an image of you, but I want to see the real you.
Amen.
I prefer the real you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, you know, we as the church spiritually need to see the real Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's okay. It's okay on screen. This does for now. But if this was forever, if this was church forever, no, this is not church.
Mm.
This is a gap filler.
Mm.
But there's nothing that beats when we come together. That's why the Bible says that we're to come together. Don't forsake the coming together. And they're not talking about coming together on Zoom or Microsoft or whatever else. They're talking about that physical coming together. Let's believe in the power of the anointing. Let's believe in the power of the presence of God. Let's believe in the sanctification of God Almighty over our lives and His protection in our lives. Hallelujah. Let's move on to verse 7. And Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, verily, verily, amen and amen, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He's making that statement again. He's making sure that these leaders who are listening in understand who He really is. You know, He's pressing this point home. He's saying, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus, the true shepherd.
Mm.
If anyone teaches anything else, it is not of God.
No.
It is about Jesus. Jesus is the center of the word. And without Jesus in the center, if you've got something else, then you've missed it. You're out of line. It is Jesus that has to be the center. Now, verse 8. And then Jesus goes on and says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the land. He said, and all these people have come before you, have come before me, and he says, they're all thieves and they're all robbers. Can you? No wonder they wanted to kill him. I mean, he is just having a go at them constantly at this point in time. He's bringing them to the place of realizing who they are and what they have been doing over the centuries to the people of God. They've misused, they've abused the word of God that was given to them. And they've used it against the people for their own ends. And Jesus says, Jesus Christ is the only true shepherd. He's the only shepherd. Don't look to anybody else. He's the only shepherd. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and I shall go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
Again, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. Oh, praise God. What a promise. Jesus here is teaching that He's the door and that He leads us into good pastures. He leads us into still waters. He leads us into, you know, the Psalm of David, Psalm 23 again. He leads us beside still waters. He set before us a banquet.
Yes.
This is the Lord. This is what God is doing. This is what the shepherd does. Not constantly stealing from us, but feeding us with the abundance of God. That then, when you feed the sheep and you feed them good, and you feed them good grass and good vegetation, they grow and they produce, and you have an increase. God is about increase in our lives. Hallelujah. And God wants an increase in you and me. And so he's that true shepherd. He's the one who leads us into green pastures. He is the avenue to safety and sustenance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the avenue to safety and sustenance. You know, good food. He's going to show you, this is point, don't eat that. Don't be partakers of that. You know, the angel said to Lot's wife, whatever you do, don't look back. Don't look back. The devil wants you to look back.
Mm-hmm.
Lot, she looked back at what happened. So she turned into a pillar of salt. Her life ended. Don't look back. Don't look at back what might have been. Don't look back at what was. But look forward. As we look forward in Jesus Christ, we have. And he leads us forward into his presence. And he will bring us into a place of his inheritance. Verse 10 says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came, Jesus says, I came that they might have life.
Amen.
And might have it abundantly.
Amen.
All glory to Jesus. The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. Jesus has come to bring life for the sheep. The enemy has come to take the lives of the sheep. But Jesus has come to give life to the sheep. You see, here in this verse, he's making it quite clear that he's not just any door. He's not just any shepherd. He is the door.
Amen.
He is the true shepherd. And that all those that have gone before him were false.
Yeah.
Were liars, were stealers and killers. But Jesus today has come to us, and now he's come to me, and he's making it quite clear that I am the door. And that you go through that door to God. You go through that door, Jesus Christ, and you go through that door, and you can receive eternal life through Christ Jesus. The Christ Jesus, he is the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Today, make sure today that he's your Savior. Make sure today that he is your Lord. Make sure today that you know him, whom to know is life eternal. Let him be the doorway that you might enter into the presence of Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
Enter in him. Let him be the one who brings to you and allows you to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. And as you study and read the Word of God, and we plan in the future, as we're getting out of this lockdown, we should be preparing and doing ministry classes and teaching, doing Bible study classes, where we will teach in depth the Word of the Lord. And we want to see each and every one of you coming to a place of fullness, coming to a place of confidence in the Word of God, and confidently using the sword of the Spirit, pulling down the strongholds. You know, I even just think of Wednesday evening when Fabian said, will you pray for Dahlia to sleep through the night? You know, she's always getting up. And we took authority, and we began to pray on Wednesday night. And as we've been told today on Sunday, she slept every night.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You see, God hears.
Mm-hmm. God answers prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be in the Word. We've got to know the Word. We've got to know the power of the Word. And we have got to know our position in the Word and in the Spirit.
Amen.
And when we know our place, and make sure the devil knows his place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's under our feet.
Amen.
And the authority that Christ has invested in the church is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So let us stand on that authority. Let us stand on the power. Let us stand in the love of God. Let us stand and see the presence of God moving and going through our lives to the praise and to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to stay there, because if I move on to the second part, the fourth one, shall I say, the I Am's, we could be here for another 3/4 of an hour, and I think maybe we'll hold it there at that. And actually, as I've been studying through the next one, I think he's good for Easter Sunday as well.
Amen.
Praise God. So we're just going to hold it there, because the next one will be I Am the Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's the door, but we're going to discover that also on next Sunday, he is the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. And what a shepherd he is. Praise his wonderful name. The Lord bless you. Thanks for being here. And if you have anything to share, please feel free to share it amongst us. And let's all be blessed with the things that God is doing in Jesus' name. Amen.